NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by our buddy Todd Furman, who we saw at the Super Bowl. Todd, how much did you enjoy your experience in Miami?
It kind of went by in a whirlwind, Mickey. The network had me running around full speed. You guys caught me at the tail end before you guys were running to jump on a flight. Great experience, great energy throughout Miami, but I much prefer a slower week there where I can actually sit on the beach for 15 to 20 minutes to pop.
I legit thought Mickey was going to ask you how much you enjoyed running into us.
I mean, clearly that was the highlight of my trip. Yeah. I mean, when I could try and pencil out the top five things I wanted to accomplish being down in Miami for an entire Super Bowl week, number one was spending quality time with you guys at 3HL.
I already knew the answer to that. Where do you think really Tom Brady is going to be spending quality time in week one of the NFL season? You tweeted about this.
Yeah, if you believe the odds makers at Fox Bet, he's about a 1-3 favorite to end up back in New England to finish out his career. But there's growing speculation that the Chargers or Raiders would provide, you know, potential landing spots. You look at everything that the Raiders have going on, a move to a new stadium, a chance for him to be the face ushering in the new Las Vegas Raiders of sorts. Meanwhile, the Chargers, some questions about what they'll do at the quarterback position, knowing that they've cut ties with Phillip Rivers. I think those would be the only two spots he would really consider outside of staying out in New England. I know there was a lot of energy and buzz about him being reunited with his former teammate in your neck of the woods in Nashville with the Titans. I just don't see that as an ideal fit. Given everything that the Titans are going to have to commit, especially if they're going to bring back Derrick Henry.
Do you think that lends to high odds that Ryan Tannehill takes the first snap in Tennessee this year then?
Yeah, that would be my general thought process. He did nothing to disappoint when he was given a chance to throw downfield. I think he passed every single test. And you know what? He doesn't have to be a transcendent, game-changing talent given what the Titans wanted to do offensively. The bigger question that I have, though, if they're going to be able to sustain some of this, and you guys tweeted the win total sitting at 8.5. I'm not sure you could commit to Derrick Henry long term. We've seen too many case studies in running backs eating up salary cap. And when you look at Ezekiel Elliott and the $90 million the Cowboys have allotted there, or Todd Gurley and what he's going to mean to the Rams, I think you have to try and make a reasonable offer. If Henry takes it, great. But if not, you try and go out there and get another bell cow back that you can lean on to run that offense.
All right, so having said that, do you find value in that 8.5 number right now, not knowing what's going to happen with regard to the quarterback, running back, and 16 other unrestricted free agents?
You know what? I don't, because I think they were a little bit of an overachiever this season, and I have some major reservations about the Titans' secondary above all else. I look at the division from top to bottom, and I don't think it's one of the more daunting tasks. When you talk about the Colts in a state of flux themselves, the Houston Texans, we know who their quarterback's going to be. We have an idea of what this football team is week in, week out. I think Jacksonville remains the biggest X factor there. And then you go through some of their other games, a game at the Ravens, probably a loss in revenge mode, at the Bengals, at the Packers, scenario where you figure you go 1-1 in those two games. And you look at some of the home dates outside of the division. I think this is a team poised to finish right around 500. 8.5, I think, is a very fair reflection of where the Titans will be. But I would lean under if you're forcing me to pick right now.
Super Bowl odds, I noticed many books started to release those, you know, literally as soon as the current Super Bowl ended. I noticed Kansas City and San Francisco right there at the top again as favorites.
Yeah, neck and neck. A lot of books have the Ravens slotted between those two teams, depending on where you shop around. Kansas City as low as 5-1, upwards of 8-1. I think a lot more questions around San Francisco, given what we've seen in the past from a Super Bowl hangover standpoint. New England, the only team to get back and win the Super Bowl since the 70s, and they did that a couple of years ago. So when you look at the 49ers, all of a sudden a team that was extremely confident and on the cusp of winning with about 8 minutes to go in the game has a little bit of an identity crisis, given the 2-for-9 that Jimmy Garoppolo put together in crunch time, some concerns along the defensive line if they'll be able to re-sign DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead. I think the 49ers, just by virtue of the division they're in, not a team I'm running to bet at the current price. I feel a little bit more convinced in Kansas City. But then again, we haven't seen a long track record of Super Bowl repeat winners, so I think there's better value to be found elsewhere.
What was the overall handle on this game, and how much did states make in tax revenue? I think I saw you had put those numbers out.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the money that changed hands legally, substantial number, Nevada coming very close to breaking a state record with about $160 million that they handled on the big game, a far cry from New Jersey that all of us thought was bridging the gap. New Jersey only generates about a shade less than $60 million in betting handle. They actually turned a loss in the state of Jersey for the second straight Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Nevada coming up just short of the record, turning almost $20 million in profit. But I think some of the numbers you're referencing came from the American Gaming Association. And money wagered in legal jurisdictions throughout 2019, you were talking about $118 million in taxable and tax money that ended up going back to state governments. You'd have to hope those went to social programs and can reinvest in the community. I think an example that Tennessee can learn from when you guys ultimately approve legalized sports betting sometime before the turn of the next century.
How
in the world did they lose money 2 years in a row? Do they need to hire you to set some odds for them or something? What's going on?
You know what? I'm not sure I'm running to get back behind the counter anytime soon, although money ultimately talks, and if there's enough on the table, I'd be happy to try and run my own risk room. I think there's a lot of things that the new states that are coming on are doing a lot differently than Nevada. Now, they're spending a ton of money on customer acquisition, thinking it's going to be a long game, and in 3 to 5 years they'll be able to recoup some of those dollars. But just the risk management philosophies, and you know, I work for an organization that's still trying to figure out how its footprint is ultimately going to be received in North America. But when you have the European influence and you don't have a lot of familiarity with how North American sports need to be booked and some of the risk thresholds, these become the end result. It's not really as simple as turning on that spigot and expecting to be able to walk away with satchels of cash. And I think a lot of these operators are figuring out that very valuable lesson. It's costing them a significant amount of money in the process.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter. All right, Todd, Mookie Betts and David Price to the L.A. Dodgers. How does that change things in the MLB world?
You know what? It makes the Yankees, who are prohibitive favorites already to win the American League East, even more substantial. I've seen some shops as high as making them a 1-8 favorite with everything they've done during the offseason to bolster their roster in comparison to Boston, who now has to really struggle to replace the productivity of Mookie Betts, who over the last 6 years produced a WAR north of 40. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, it's going to make a scary offensive lineup even scarier. The big question that LA has to ask when you trade Kenta Maeda as part of that deal to Minnesota, where they're going to go to record 27 outs night in, night out. So I don't think the Dodgers are done dealing, whether it's for a starting pitcher or looking for additional relief help. But clearly those two are heads and tails above everybody else as far as favorites. And if you want to bet both of them versus the field, I believe there was a book out here in Vegas that hung that prop at plus $1.25 earlier today.
Who has a better chance of making the playoffs right now, the Memphis Grizzlies or the Nashville Predators?
You know what? I'll take the Preds in that. I think Nashville can figure things out. I know the division doesn't exactly give them a whole lot of wiggle room. When you look at the top three in the form of the Colorado Avalanche, St. Louis Blues, and Dallas Stars. But I think the fact that the Pacific is such a wide-open, absolute dumpster fire where my Golden Knights play, no reason that if Nashville got hot, they couldn't sneak in as a second wild card. And truth be told, they might actually benefit immensely if they slotted into that eighth spot and have to take on the winner of the Pacific instead of going through their own division. I'd actually make them a favorite right now in a best-of-seven series against anybody coming out of the Pacific.
Dang. Go Preds fans. Anybody betting on XFL stuff yet?
I'm still waiting for over-unders to try and come out to better gauge exactly how odds makers feel, but this will be more of a novelty early on than anything else. I think it'll cater to professional bettors looking to identify an edge and very low limits available. Can't tell you exactly who the starting quarterbacks or the head coaches are, but when you look at some of the numbers out there, this will have a very CFL-type feel early on in terms of how books elect to handle some of the risk associated with it.
So the carpet guy in Houston can't just plop down $1 million on Dallas this week?
No, if you guys read a story about Mattress Mac getting down $1 million on the Dallas Renegades to win the inaugural XFL championship, you'll know that that's a pure fabrication or he's greasing the right wheels to try and move his money.
Oh, yeah, mattress guy, my bad.
That's what I'm here for, to help try and correct whenever needed.
Thank you, Todd.
Always a pleasure.
Todd Furman on 104.5 The Zone. Presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Zone.